All the stuff that you got. What do you hold dear right now? What are the things that you hold dear right now? Material things. What do you hold dear? Your cars? Your houses? Oh, God blesses us with them. We need to take care of them. We need to cherish them. We need to thank him for them. Every day we need to thank God for what he's given us. But my brothers and sisters, if we focus on those things and miss love, we are focusing on something right here that Peter tells us is going to burn up. He said all the elements are going to melt with the fervent heat. So if you haven't thrown it away already, it's going to be leaving you in the future. And we need to hold on to something that's going to be around long after spiritual gifts are gone, long after material possessions are gone. You know, we can hold on to something that'll be around a long time.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6, from our series Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6.
Amen. As we continue on with the message this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 12. And this is the section that talks about the permanence of love. The permanence of love. As we just think back of some of the ground that we've covered over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the different types of love. And we said that there was four types of love. First of all, we said that there was eros. And eros is an erotic or a sexual love. It's the kind of love that's demonstrated between a man and a woman. That desire that a man would have towards a woman and that desire that a woman would have towards a man. We continued on by not only talking about eros love, but we dealt with storge love. And this is a sense of belonging. This is a family type love. Those of you who are in a family and you see the care and concern that's expressed towards you, then you are experiencing storge, because that's the kind of love that is spoken of in this particular word. And then we see another word that is used in the Greek language for love, and that's the word phileo. And this is a brotherly or a friendship love. You know, we all think of Philadelphia, philios, love, Adelphia, brother, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. So phileo is that brotherly or that friendship love. It's the love that's seen between two companions, two people that have grown up together and just have spent a lot of time together, that phileo love. Well, in 1 Corinthians, we don't see any of those loves used here, but the love that we're focusing in on in 1 Corinthians is the fourth type of love that we're going to show you, and that is agape love. And agape love is a sacrificial love. Agape is the kind of love that sacrifices for the good of others. Agape is the kind of love that denies oneself in order to see others benefit. Agape is one that will see others in need and reach out and try to meet that need. God so agape the world. When God looked down at the world, he saw the world was in such dire need. He saw the world was in such a dire strait, that God so agape the world that he gave his only begotten son. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it said that God demonstrated his agape in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're talking this morning about agape love. As we look at the outline of 1 Corinthians 13, we see that we've been looking at a four-point outline. We started out by talking the power of love. Oh, man, those first three verses are good. Good, because it said that you can be able to do great things, but if you don't have love, it means absolutely nothing. We spent a couple weeks looking at the performance of love. How does love look? What does love look like? Anybody want to know what love looks like? Just read verses 4 through 7. That's what love is all about. And today, our focus will be on the permanence of love in verses 8 through 12. And then next week, we will look at the preeminence of love in verse 13. This morning, we're going to focus on the permanence of love. And we see, first of all, the first point is that love is permanent, or the permanence of love is seen because love never fails. Amen. Love never fails. Verse 8 of chapter 13. Paul begins this verse by saying, love never fails. In your notes this morning, I like the way John MacArthur put it. He says that the word fails comes from the Greek word pipto, which has the basic meaning of falling, especially the idea of a final falling. This word was used of a flower or leaf that falls to the ground, withers, and decays. Paul said that love will never, like a leaf from a tree in the fall, love will never break off of the branch, float to the ground, lay on the ground, wither, and decay away. He said that love, check this out, will always be in season. There's never a time that love will be out of season. Other things will cease to exist, but love will always be around. Love will outlast anything you can think about. I mean, except, you know, we know there are some eternal things, you know, our souls, the Word of God. But if you even look at that, God, and what does the Bible say about God? God is what? Love. And as long as God is going to be around, love is going to be around. So love will outlast anything. Let me give a word to some of you young folks in here today that are dating, and you're falling for somebody. You notice I didn't put the word love in there. You're falling for somebody. That's the bomb. That's off the hook. That you want to be your boo. And you know, you have just fallen head over heels. See, you better make sure that it's love, because that beauty is going to fade. That beauty is going to go away. You see, when you hear people like Pastor Glaze saying that, you know, I used to have a six-pack. You know, now I got a barrel. When you hear Pastor Glaze say stuff like that, you know, y'all don't believe it. That's what I'm saying. If you got the cuts now, if you got the long flowing hair now, if you got the beauty right now, let me tell you something. Let me give you a word of advice. I mean, right now, all right, give you a word of advice. Go ahead and take a picture right now. Take a picture of it right now. So when you get to be my age, you can tell people, look, see, because they're not going to believe you. But you can say, look, see, I told you, because it's gone, baby. It's going to leave you. Somebody said beauty is skin deep and ugliness is to the bone. Beauty dies and fades, but ugliness holds its own. So, you know, you better make sure that you got some love up in that relationship, because what you're looking at now, it's going to fade away. It's going to fade away. I tell you, when you get to a certain point where your back goes out more than you do, man, you in trouble. You're in trouble. And that's where we all headed. We all headed toward the graveyard. So let me tell you today, you better make sure that you are not building relationships on looks. Looks are, you know, hey, nothing wrong with looks. Nothing wrong with looks. Don't let me mislead you now. But don't build that relationship on looks. Because I tell you what, I see some older saints walking down the street hand in hand, have a hard time walking, bent over, can't hear, can't hardly see. But you know what keeps them together? You know what keeps them going? There's something that you can't see, and that's the love that's between them. And so that's why I'm saying love will outlast anything. Love, I find out, will even outlast your mind. You know, some people, you're going to lose your mind. And the only reason I'm saying that, because I think sometimes I'm losing mine. You know, I'd be forgetting stuff. I had my sermon the other day, and I was going to take my sermon home and work on it and typed it all up on my computer and pulled my little disc out and went home and put the disc in at home and tried to pull the sermon up. and forgot to save it to the disk. Yeah, I tell you, you know, just little things make you think like you losing it. So you better have some love up in you, because some of this stuff is gone. You know, sometimes I feel like the two elderly ladies that was riding down the street, and as they were riding down the street, the one lady was driving, and she went through the red light. And the other lady was sitting there. She said, "Oh, my goodness, what happened there?" Came to another red light. She went right through the light. And she said, "Oh, if she does this again, I'm going to have to stop and say something to her." And for sure, and came to the next light, and she went right through it. And she said, "Hey, what's wrong? We just went through three red lights, and you didn't stop at any. What's wrong?" She said, "Oh, am I driving?" You better have some love in you. You better have some love up in you, because everything else is going to fade away. And that's the point that Paul is making here. Paul was saying that love never fails. It never fails. Isn't it good to know that there could be something about you that is not going anywhere? Something about you that will last long beyond after other things have worn out and gone. Paul says that love never fails. Why is it that love never fails? Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This tells us why love never fails. 1 John chapter 4 in verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 16, and we have known him and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Love will never go anywhere. Love will always be around, because God is love. How can I, if God is love, you know, how can I get this love? How can I fill myself with God's love? You know, the first thing that I need to do is I need to stop and just begin to meditate on the fact that God loves me. Now, it's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the prayer. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of your love. See, sometimes we can say, well, you know, that person needs the love of God. Look at terrorists. Well, that person needs the love of God. No, just think about you. Think about the things that you think about sometimes. You think about things sometimes that if other people could get into your mind, man, it would make their hair stand straight out like they saw a ghost. Think about who you are. Think about some of your shortcomings. Think about the fact that you are not all that you need to be. And then think about this, that in spite of all that, God still loves me. God still loves me. That when father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me in. And you need to get up every morning, and the first thing that you need to think and the first thing that you need to say is that God loves me. There's a whole lot of folk that are not feeling love in the world today. Folk growing up in loveless homes where nobody cares about them, where nobody is taking care of them, nobody is concerned about them. But you know what? Let's get that message. Let's pray that somehow that they would get that message that God loves them. And if I could get that through and just get a good dose of the love of God, man, my life is going to be a whole lot better. Because you know what? I want people to like me. I want people to love me. But you know what? If you don't, it's not going to send me off the cliff, because I know that God loves me. And we need to be reminded of that. You might need to put it in your day planner, put it in your Palm Pilot, just write down there whenever you pick up a message. God loves me. Why am I saying this? Because love never fails. The most important thing that you can do is get the love of God up in you. Because if you got the love of God in you, you have something in you that's never going to fade, never going to go away. The second thing we see, the permanence of love is seen because it outlasts spiritual gifts. Love will outlast spiritual gifts. Look at verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. One of the things that we do here at Bethany Baptist Church, we want all of our members to know what their spiritual gifts are. We should be able to go to any member and ask them, what is your gift? What is your spiritual gift? And if you're sitting here today and you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then you may need to go see Sister Lydia Lockhart, and so that she can get you the spiritual gift test so you can understand what your gift is. So we here place a lot of emphasis on spiritual gifts. But I want to say this, that spiritual gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ, that you have a gift to bring your gift to the body, to serve God in the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ might be built up. I got some news for you. One day, the church as we know it will be ushered into heaven, and the church as on earth will be no more, and there will be no more need for spiritual gifts. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any need for spiritual gifts, because why? We'll have bodies that are immortal. We'll have bodies that have been touched by God, and we will be able to just praise him and worship him, and we won't need the gifts that are in the body right now. They're going to fade away. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. Paul's saying that spiritual gifts in the body of Christ are for right now, but there's coming a day when spiritual gifts will be over, and the only thing that will continue on out of this chapter is going to be love. Long after spiritual gifts are gone, love is still going to be around. The Corinthians, what their problem was, is that they were more focused on spiritual gifts, and they should have been focused on love. They were worried about this ability that they had, that they could walk around and brag about and boast about. And Paul said, it's good that you got that, but your concern needs to be on love. You know, let's bring this over into the natural today. There are some people that are more focused on how they can buy somebody something to win their affection. How they can buy somebody something to win them over. How can I, you know, make somebody feel good by something that I can do? And you got the wrong motive. You know, I was reading a statistic, and it says toy makers watch the divorce rate. And you wonder, well, why would toy makers watch the divorce rate? Because they said when it rises, so do toy sales. According to the analysts, they, instead of children now having two parents, they have four parents. Instead of having four grandchildren, they have eight grandchildren. And guess what? All of them are trying to get that child's attention if they come from a healthy situation as far as the parents are concerned. So what is that saying? That Wall Street has recognized the fact that people try to buy affection. People try to buy love. Paul said here, don't try to buy it. He said, because that gift is just going to fade away. We should be more focused on loving others. Listen to this now. We should be more focused on loving others than exercising our gifts. Whoa. But Pastor Glaze, you know, we need good teachers in the body. But Pastor Glaze, you know, we need people that are going to serve and that are going to clean up the... We need people that are going to sing. We need people going to usher. We should be more focused on how we're going to... No, the main thing that God has called us to focus on before our gifts is love. Now, once again, we need the gifts, so don't everybody quit now because we've been in trouble. We need the gifts, but God wants us to focus on love. Love your enemies. Do something good for somebody that's an enemy of yours. Man, let's you know, man, we We have for so long, the body of Christ for so long has let the devil get in our relationships and have the victory. Let's not let the devil get the victory. You know, he gets back, he starts a little, instigates something, he throws something out there, instigates it, and then lets the saints go at it, and then he just sits back and just has a good time watching while the saints go at it. Man, let's not let the devil have the victory. Let's exercise love towards one another. Oh, it may be difficult sometimes in situations that we have to deal with in families, in the church, on the job, in our community, but let's find a way to exercise this love. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, prophecies, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. The word fail comes from a Greek word that means to diminish to nothing or to be eradicated. That prophecy, well, what is prophecy? Some people say, I don't know what prophecy is. Prophecy is what I'm doing right now, proclaiming the word. You know, when we get to heaven, no need for preachers in heaven. Why? Because you got the main one. You got the great preacher. There's no need for preachers in heaven. So that the word prophecy means not only to preach the word, but foretell the word. When we get to heaven, there's no need for anybody to look into the future and tell the future. Why? Because God is going to reveal things to us. We'll be in his presence. There will be no more need for prophecy. He said, whether there's tongues, the word is pao, and the Greek, what that word means is they're going to lapse into silence. That tongues will become silent. That there will be no more need for tongues when we get into glory. He says knowledge, the gift to study and to analyze and gain earthly intellect, shall vanish away, shall be gone. After all these gifts, and I believe that here Paul is pulling out the most important gifts, prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. And he says that they're going to end one day. He said, but you know what's going to continue on? Long after those things are gone, is love. Love will continue on. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we see that not only are gifts going to fade away, but it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. This earth, the heavens, one day are just going to pass away. God is going to set them all on fire and burn them all up. You know, they're going to pass away with a great sizzling sound. And the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Wow. Wow. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what's that? Your car, your house, your clothes, everything that you hold dear is going to burn up. If you haven't got rid of it already and you're trying to hold on to it, it's gone, baby. I'm letting you know right now. It's going to burn up. He says, seeing that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 4034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored.